Well, hard times can come upon us all. Sometimes we are put in situations where we have to make hard choices. I know a lot of people, including myself, thinking that having a go bag packed and ready for an emergency is a good idea. You never know when you could be put in a situation where you'll have to leave your home at a moment's notice. Excuse me. For those of you who do not know what a go bag is, there's a bag that has the essential things in it that you might need or want on the road in case of an emergency. It can be hard to choose what items to put in your bag. If you're not careful, you'll end up with a big bag. If you think about it long enough, you'll go back and forth to your bag from time to time to take out the things and put in different things. The older we get, the things we thought were important sometimes ending up not being as important as we thought, or we get better tools. What about your spiritual go bag? Your spiritual go bag should be something that you have ready and with you at all times. Why would you need a spiritual go bag, and what would you need in it? For the why of this question, we can turn to Matthew 10, verse 22. It's Matthew 10, verse 22. We'll start there. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, my physical go bag will have tools to help me in the event of emergency, but I do not think that this go bag is going to help me in this situation. We need to be able to endure to the end, but what was Christ talking about? Let's look back to verse 16, Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the child shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That scares me to read that. I think to myself, is that time at hand? During this time, I will need my spiritual go bag. I have observed over my lifetime the decline in society, things that I knew to be right being changed to wrong, The social changes in our society have made a dramatic downturn over a short period of time. We enjoy relatively great lives. We have plenty to eat and warm beds to sleep in. It is easy to endure while being blessed. But what happens when we run into really tough times? I often ask myself if I'm prepared. If you read online, you would think we're at war with each other in this country. More and more violence spills from online onto the streets. Makes me want to make sure I keep my focus where it should be, setting a good example for our children and grandchildren, and also setting a good example to the rest of the world. I need to always be prepared to spread the hope that is in my heart. Let's take a look at the word endurance. In the Greek, it is number G5287. And please forgive me, my pronunciation is not very good. Hopeno. It's from G5259 and G3306, meaning to stay under, to remain, to undergo. Bear trials, have fortitude, persevere, patience. To endure is to have patience, to be long-suffering, bearing your trials, to undergo. We are commanded to do this for our own sake. Let's take a look at examples in the Bible that could help us prepare our spiritual go bag. I have heard patience is a virtue. Is it a mind exercise? Abraham had patience. I wonder what gave him such great patience. Let's turn to Hebrews 6, verse 13. That's Hebrews 6, verse 13. That's Paul's letter to the Hebrews. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham had patience, but he also had to have great faith in order to be patient towards the promises of God. God promised Abraham descendants, yet he did not get that promised son until he was 100 years old. I don't know about you, but I would have had a hard time waiting that long. I might have given up hope by then, but I'd like to think I wouldn't. But however, Abraham had great faith that his God would keep his promise. So he was able to be patient. Let's take a look at another scripture on patience. Let's start in Romans 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God throughout our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God, the hope and the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We are told that we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, which allows us to stand before God and rejoice rather than cower in fear. In verse 3 and 4, it tells us that when we face hard times and tribulations, we build our patience and learn to become more like Christ. I'd like to read another scripture on patience in James 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Once again, we see that patience is a vital component of our putting away the old man. It is obvious that patience should be in our spiritual go bag. Another thing I would like to look at is long-suffering. In the Greek, it is number G3115. And mikrothomi, huh? Anyway, it means longanimity, forbearance, fortitude. Long-suffering is something I think we all go through, whether we know it or not. We must focus on the reward when enduring hardship or persecution. In Hebrews 12, 2, it reads, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we look to Jesus as our example, we see that he endured not only physical suffering, but also the shame of crucifixion, and endured with the focus on his Father and the future set before him. He also had to endure his Father abandoning him momentarily once he took on our sins, which is something I can't even imagine. If we look at Ephesians 4, verses 1, we'll start in verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We definitely need to learn to be patient with each other and work to keep the peace and the unity of the body of Christ. There can be long suffering involved in this, but we all need to try to keep the bond of peace within the body of Christ. Forbearing one another in love sounds wonderful, and I think we all do a good job of that. However, this is one thing I need to work on. Now, if we'd turn to Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5. Philippians 2. We'll read one more on long-suffering. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than ourselves. Look not to every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. To actually place the wants and needs of another above mine can be a difficult thing to do. We need long-suffering in our spiritual go-bag. As it says in Ephesians 4:2, we need meekness and long-suffering. So let's take a look at the word meekness. Meekness, the word in the Greek, is G4236. Pheretois means gentleness and humility. In 1 Peter 3:15, it reads, that's 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We also need to be ready to tell of the hope in our hearts. There is a right and a wrong way to do this. Being gentle with our words, showing total conviction with humility. It also talks about meekness in Zephaniah 2, verse 3. That's Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of our Lord's anger. This is another time I would need my spiritual go bag packed and loaded. I would like to be in a safe place at this time. The time of the Lord is anger. I'm sure I'm not alone in this thought process. David had great faith and great relationship with God. He did a lot of mighty works with the Lord at his back. He spoke to him all the time. David had a smartly packed spiritual go bag. He spoke of gentleness, which is meekness. Let's take a look at what David had to say in 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. 2 Samuel 22, and we'll start in verse 29. What's that? That would be 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and my God I have leaped over a wall. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all of them that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hind feet, and setteth me on high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so my feet did not slip. This sounds like a good list for one of David's go-bags. God was his lamp and light. God had strengthened his hands and given him a shield of God's salvation and planted his feet firmly on the ground. David did not need worldly ways of war. We all know what David did when Saul tried to arm David for war with Goliath. I'll go ahead and read this in 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. It's 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. And Saul armed David with armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. All David needed was God in his corner. His go-bag was so full of faith, the faith that no man could stand in the way of the will of God. Goliath fought David with tools of man, where David used the tools of God, the tools that God had given him, tools he had used in the past battles. When David and Goliath were talking back and forth in 1 Samuel 17, 45, it reads, Then David said to the Philistine, Thou come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. David had great faith that God would see him through this. He had to have faith knowing himself. He had to have great faith in knowing himself to lean on God. But we must have this frame of mind about ourselves, knowing we will make mistakes when it comes to mistakes. We must also learn to be long-suffering towards ourselves. If we are impatient with ourselves, it will be impossible to manifest long-suffering towards others. It is common to become frustrated with ourselves for our shortcomings when we make mistakes. We think we are expected to become instantly perfect in the eyes of the Lord. This is not the way it works. The changes come gradually and through hard work and endurance and through trials. If we can learn to be patient with ourselves, it will help us to be patient towards others while the Lord works in their lives and ours. So far, the things I have talked about are all fruits of the Spirit. It reads in Galatians 5:22 and 23, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I believe the tools God has given us should be the first items in my go bag. There are so many things to put in the spiritual go bag. I would like to take a look at peace. Excuse me. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 18. That's Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This seems to be pretty clear. We must do everything in our power, within our ability, to get along with others. We must not be strident towards others. When we try to instigate an argument, when others try to instigate an argument, we must seek a peaceable solution if possible. We are called to be the peacemakers. Next, I'd like to look at Philippians 4:7. I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures out there, but can't go wrong with the Word of God. That's Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We must also keep our own peace of mind. We are told to focus on what is good and pure. Focusing on the ugliness around us will not give us peace of mind. Peace of mind will keep you from excess worry in times of tribulation. We all need to be informed, though, so I don't suggest burying your head in the sand, but try not to focus too much on the ugliness around us. There sure is a lot of it in the world today. Next, I would like to take a look at joy. And let's turn to Proverbs 17, verse 22. It's Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Just as worry and stress are bad for our health, we are told here that joy is good for us, like medicine. But how do we find joy? We find joy in things or people, even in a certain situations. Unfortunately, all of these things are temporary and can be taken away from you. In Philippians 4, verse 4, it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice." We must place our joy in the Lord. This joy cannot be taken away from us. The joy of the heart, which cannot be taken away even in the midst of tribulations. Another item I would like to put in my go bag is love, charity. Let's take a look at that word. The word charity in the Greek is G26. Agape, from G25, meaning love, affection, or benevolence. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These are all very familiar scriptures I'm sure we're all very familiar with. Love of God is our first commandment and also somehow manages to be the most important, component of our peace of mind and our spiritual well-being. We must also think of others. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it reads, "And above all things, have fervent charity among ourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." We must love one another in order to build them up in times of trouble. Those who focus on others' needs over their own will have a much less time to feel sorry for themselves or become depressed. In Colossians 3, 4, it reads, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." I can think of this as actually putting on charity, like putting on a shirt, telling myself I'm going to wear love today. I must also love myself for mental and spiritual security. If we remember that God loves us, we should also love ourselves. The next two scriptures I'd like to look at are in Revelation. Revelation 2, verse 25. That's Revelation 2, verse 25, and we'll read through 26. "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." And in Revelation 3, verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." These are great promises to us and great motivators to endure till the end. We should keep our focus on the kingdom of God. It is obvious that endurance, patience, long-suffering, love, meekness are intertwined, and it is something that I should strive for, and I think we all should. If we promote this attitude in our daily lives, others could see our patience, long-suffering, and endurance. Perhaps we could truly begin to exhibit Christ to those around us by our behavior. Our physical go bag is one that we have to be careful not to overload. We can fill it with things that can make it too heavy to carry, too much of a burden. The nice thing about the spiritual go bag is that it never gets too big or heavy. If anything, it helps carry you. Well, now I'd like to open it up for discussion about what you would all put in your spiritual go bag and why. Thank you. Microphones, please.
I think one of the things that you mentioned that I have not had in my bag is you said you have to love yourself. And I thought about that when you said that. And I thought, you know, if you love yourself, you're not going to do the things that are detrimental to your long-term spiritual health. And it just kind of was a eye-opening, you know, that there is that element there that you have to love yourself or you will be doing the stuff that is going to hurt you in the future. You know, you'll be doing all the wrong things because you don't care enough about yourself not to do them.
Thank you. Very good. I think what I would sum up all those fruits to put in the bag would be an attitude of serving. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It means put your wants and wishes that you don't necessarily have to have, put them on a back burner and see what you can do to help others who need help.
Exactly. That's a good one. That's a good one to have in your bag. Anybody else? Got one back there and one up here.
Oh, thank you, Ron. That was very, very good. One of the things you kind of finished up with was the concept of love and serving others. And there's a very famous book by Viktor Frankl. Some of you are probably aware of Man's Search for Meaning. He experienced the Auschwitz concentration camps. And it was his observation that many of the people who survived the camps, it was because they were busy carrying out service towards other prisoners. They busied themselves by caring for the others, which was an act of love. So in your go bag, I think love is really the capstone. Yeah. That covers a lot of territory. Yeah. And it's a book worth reading for those of you who aren't aware of it. Published in 1946, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning.
Got another one right here.
I got it. And I was just going to add, and you're right, Alan, love covers all of it, but I was just going to add forgiveness and grace are two. I feel like those go hand in hand. Grace, obviously, from God to us, but also just being able to show grace to others. And I think that just follows right along with forgiveness. So those are ones that I would want in mind.
Those are good ones to have. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I can't think of a word for this. The best I can come up with is options open? A lot of times people ask the question, well, what should we do? Should we get busy and serve or get involved in some evangelistic project? Or should we kind of be ready for the time of the end because it's at hand? And being old is sometimes great. You can think of the people back 30, 40 years ago that, oh, the end is coming. No, we can't do anything. We need to wait. And they'll quote scriptures even from the Old Testament about those things. But no, I think God expects us, and the scripture in Matthew 24, 45 comes to mind, that who is then the faithful and wise servant who, when his master has set over his household to give him their food in the proper time, or as the others say, find them so doing? Well, that's verse 46, okay. But anyway, my point of that is there are things that we may not finish, but that's okay. In other words, we may be preparing to do something new, you know, to reach out to somebody in a way we haven't before, and we may not finish, and we don't have to be worried about that. And I can think about people I've known that have set out, you know, with some kind of ministry to raise up a church or whatever they've done, and they succeeded in it, even though it didn't go exactly where they expected, they did. And so we never know the future. So if there's a word for this, we just have to, I guess, maybe trust God to do what he says and realize we might not know how it's going to turn out, but that if we're doing his work, that it'll go okay, you know, and God will take care of the rest.
Great.
There was an earlier message about that spoke about imagination, and I would put it in terms of vision. Do we have a vision of what's going to happen going forward? Whether we think that there's a we'll be protected or not, we need to think through ahead how we're going to respond to those things. And having the go bag helps us to do that. And I would just give you one example. You know, a lot of people think, well, we're going to go to a place of safety, we'll be protected. Think about Daniel, who was taken into captivity to Babylon. Mm-hmm. And even though he was in captivity, his example raised him to the level of number two in the nation and influenced the king. So however we find ourselves in the future, we need to be prepared either way how that's going to happen. And so for us to be thinking about that now, what will we do when we're confronted with these things? And have we prepared ourselves through our go bags?
It's hard to
be ready however Yahweh wants to use us. We need to be ready. So having a vision about what's going to happen and how we'll respond to it, I think, is really important.
Yes, definitely. There are so many different factors and different... You could never fill it full enough, as far as I'm concerned.
So I... forgive me if you already said this, because I did show up a couple minutes late, but I always wonder... I love how you link things to the fruits of the Spirit. I think that's a great list that I refer to often. And I always wonder why wisdom is not one of those fruits of the Spirit. And I don't know if you mentioned wisdom, but I think that should be, if not wisdom, then the search for wisdom should be, in your bag.
Yeah. Wisdom and discernment.
And I also want to make a comment on what John said, the being ready, just the fact that we are acquiring and filling a go bag tells us that we're ready to be ready. You know what I mean?
We're preparing.
Yeah, preparing.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, I would definitely include the armor of God in my go bag. I mean, this is it's warfare. And we can't forget that, and we need to be prepared to overcome, and that's definitely in my bag, for sure.
It's Ephesians 6, right?
Yeah, one of the things that I notice I'm focusing on an awful lot right now is self-control. Mm. I found out I had a problem with diabetes, and all my life I indulged a sweet tooth and had to change it, and... Not only I see that I have to have a lot of self-control with everything that I eat, but also a time factor. I notice I do a lot of things that don't really have to be done, especially when I get into a hurry. So self-control is a very important thing, and that goes along with all the other gifts. Yes. And I noticed doing some work myself, you know, that there's other things that go along with. It's not just those nine things, but there's a place where it talks about people that had the Spirit and having boldness to speak the Word of God, and things like power and a sound mind that go right along with those nine elements.
Those are good ones. I don't think it's on. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for your teaching and for the spiritual wisdom you guys have and for inviting me. But if the spiritual go bag that I was wondering, 1 Corinthians 1:16 says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For us who are being saved, it's the power of God. We can live a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Mm-hmm. How do we continuously access that power to live a godly life in a culture that's continuously pushing your sinful nature and the ways of Lucifer?
Well, I guess that would... look at here. All right. they're recording, so it's best with the microphone.
Yeah, you had mentioned something about you know, keep our ear to the ground. We know God's going to do his part, but we don't want to sit back and wait for him to do everything.
Right.
It's like the person that was on his rooftop in a flood, and the boat come along and says, hey, I'll give you a ride and get you out of here, go uphill. No, God's going to take care of me. So here comes another boat, and he turned him down. Then here comes a helicopter. Nope. Well, he drowned. And when he gets to heaven, he says, why didn't you take care of me? And he says, well, I sent two boats and a helicopter. So we know God's going to do his part. We just got to figure out what is our part and do our part and be ready and keep our ear to the ground, watch, and pray that we be accounted worthy to escape what we know is coming.
Right. Thank you. I'm sorry, that probably didn't address your question, did it? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. As soon as he asked the question, your hand went up, so I thought, hey, there's the guy. What was that again? I'm sorry.
The question is, 1 Corinthians 1:16 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it's the power of God. How do we continuously access the power of the Holy Spirit and live a holy, godly life set apart with the coming end of the age, with the flesh and the ways of the devil attacking us? How do we continuously access the power of the Holy Spirit to be faithful and obedient to survive things that are coming? That's what I wanted to put in my spiritual bag.
Yeah. I would probably suggest a lot of prayer and a lot of fasting and a lot of study. Those three things cover so many different things, and by doing those three things, you could lift yourself up out of so many different situations that I feel that that's the best way to keep Satan at bay, is to immerse yourself with God and pray for the Holy Spirit. All right. This one here?
Thanks. Thanks, Ron. Very, very good and very, brings up a lot of good questions, too. My comment to Daniel would be, keep in mind that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And God gave us two ears to hear and one mouth to talk about it.
Yes.
Keep Amen. Our ears open and keep our ears yes. clean to listen and yes. understand. It's a blessing, but it's hard to do.
Yes, it is.
Daniel, in my personal opinion is, you have to ask first, you know, ask and it shall be given. But you have to mean it when you ask. And the manner in which it is given is maybe not the manner in which you would like it to be given. And this is a prayer that I suggested one time, and my wife said, don't do that. I said, we need to pray. Whatever the personal cost is to me, I want to bear fruit in my life. And, of course, whatever that personal cost is, spills over onto her. So she told me not to pray that prayer, but I think it's a great prayer. Ask whatever the personal cost is, it's okay, and then accept. I think that's one method you could try. And I'll talk to you next year to see what happens.
Well, they say not to pray for patience because God will put you in situations to be patient. The best thing to do is just to be patient.
Quick statement. God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him.
Amen is right. Do we have any more comments or questions? Okay.
You know, I think we probably look at it as a go bag, but I also look at it as a go-to bag. Like every situation come across, just pull out the tool that we need for that situation, or a couple tools.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It should be something that's strapped to you, written on your mind and heart. It wouldn't necessarily, I don't know, it wouldn't be a go bag unless you have it with you at all times. There's no taking this bag off. It's something that you wear that becomes part of you.
You need to practice.
Yes, definitely. Thinking of all the situations that Satan could put you in and how you would react to them and what you would do. It's a long process to go through, and a scary one, too, if you think about all the things that can happen. Right here.
I know I have personal shortcomings. There are times that an opportunity comes along where I should do the right thing, and I let it go. I'm a coward. And I learned that I had to also give up control. I had to ask God to take over in those situations where I don't know the right thing to do. Please, I give you permission. Take over. And I have found that he does. If you ask him to, he will take over and help you through those situations so that you don't drop the ball. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to need to help somebody else rather than yourself. That's the way he works.
Yes. Oh. No, keep going. I actually read a little fast, so we've got a little extra time.
Is it on? Okay. So something I always have in my go bag is just music and worship and praise. And, you know, there's a lot of times in my life that I've just been too distraught or too upset about something, and I just can't form a coherent prayer. And all these other tools just aren't cutting it for me. But I can turn on some worship music or sing an old hymn, and there's something that happens with music. I mean, there's a reason why David was always singing and dancing and celebrating. There is something that happens to our hearts when we are worshiping God and our eyes are off ourselves and it's on him. And so that's a powerful one for me, at least. So,
yes, definitely. Mr. Mike here. Oh, we have one back there?
Yeah. I like the one scripture you brought up in Samuel where it talks about we are made perfect through God, through his ways. And lots of times I think people do not claim that they're or accept the fact that we are made perfect through Christ Jesus. And they all seem to think that, you know, because you sin, that we're going to fall short. But, you know, but to have the confidence in knowing that we have that perfection and being blameless. And in response to Daniel's question, too, is to have the response, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did to the king. Or, you know. And another thing is the forgiveness in the go bag. So I think you brought that up.
Forgiveness, that's a good one. Mike?
Yeah, okay. Thinking through this as we were going along, I was having the concept of, okay, this is something we put in this bag to use sometime along the way when we need it. Mm-hmm. No, this has to become a way of life. This is something that we practice now, because if we don't practice it now as we're going along, it won't be there to use when we need it. So it's got to become that way of life. And I think that's just a little different way of looking at the whole thing.
Right. The world sure gives us a lot of opportunity to practice with that go bag so that we can be a little more prepared when it gets really rough. Because right now, like I said, we all live pretty relatively good lives compared to the way it could be. And it's easy to endure when we're being blessed.
So I'm going to kind of follow up on what Mike said a little bit, kind of what I was thinking before I got there. Certainly your analogy of a go bag, and I think of a go bag as something that you have ready in an emergency. It's kind of a subset of all your, you know, you've got things that you're using all the time that you're not going to put in that go bag. I think for, you know, a spiritual go bag, though, things that we have in there, again, are what we should be using all the time. It shouldn't just be, oh, hey, this is a small subset of what we have in our home, but this should be our spiritual home or spiritual world at all times, regardless of whether or not there's an emergency or whatever it may be.
We have to have that bag written on our minds and hearts and ready to use at all times. Oh, there we go.
I wanted to make a comment. I noticed that you're using the King James, and you use that word charity for love. But out in the society we live in, charity is a kind of a limited type of love, and it's not really that interchangeable. So I think it would be wise to use, instead of charity, even when it's in the King James, if you want to use it. I really appreciate the King James, and sometimes I've compared some statements with the King James and the New King James, and I decide I like the King James better. But when it comes to certain words, they just don't fit. I throw out the these and the thines, and I think I would actually throw out that charity and put love there instead, because that's a word people use as a general term. Right. Charity actually has a very limited type of meaning in our society.
Yes, correct. The word for love, though, for charity, the definition of agape is also, I believe, a love without preference. That is something that God has mastered that we must work very hard on, as loving everybody no matter who they are, what they are, what they represent, and how much they sin. We must learn to separate the sin from the individual and try to continue to love without preference. But yes, I do understand. I struggled with it. I wrote it down both as love and charity, and kind of chose to run with charity because of the definition that it gave. But yeah. We got one more back there. Is that it? One more here. Oh, back there, and then here.
I just want to say quickly that I appreciate very much your comment that the go bag doesn't weigh anything, so we can just carry it with us. And it doesn't have to be sitting by the door. It's, like you said, written on our hearts and our minds. That's really important.
And it'll actually help carry you in times where a physical go bag will weigh you down.
Yeah, that one scripture that you read, take no heed for what you will say, for I'll give you what to say. Well, he's giving it to us right now. This is what we should put in the bag, put in our minds too, because we're going to need it at some point in time. And we can also use that to encourage others.
All right.
So, good job.
Yeah. And is that it? All right, so we're done a little bit early. We got one more here, sorry.
When we get ready to go somewhere, the mechanic in our household packs a bag. And he packs a bag of tools. And then when we have problems along the way, the helper is the one supposed to go get the tools, but she doesn't know as much about the tools. So I think when you are packing your bag, this life that we're busy living is where we're supposed to be using the tools and learning how to handle the tools. So that when you need them in the crisis, they're second nature. And so you're not running back and forth saying, these are the pokey nose pliers. And he goes, that's not what they're called. I think that everything from what Daniel said to what everybody's talking about is how we use and how we learn and how we grow. It's not that we're fighting against the world. We're exercising our experience in the world.
Exactly. You know, one thing you don't want to do is have a tool in your bag that you don't know how to use. Where if you reach in and you pull that tool out and you use it improperly, it can do so much more damage than good. So we have to be prepared to use those tools and know them before we put them in our bag.
Denise, that was a beautiful analogy that you made. And it made me think that, you know, one of the things that we need to include in that bag is the mechanic who knows how to use it, right? So we need to walk with our Savior every step of the way. That I think is
he
also
is the master
important.
Mechanic. He is. All right. Any more? All right. Looks like we're done about 10 minutes early. So thank you all. I appreciate it.